Look at the scripture with me, would you? It's from Luke's Gospel, chapter 9. And an argument arose among them, that is to say, the disciples, as to which one of them was the greatest. Jesus, aware of their inner thoughts, took a little child and put it by his side and said to them, "Whoever welcomes this child in my name welcomes me." Did you catch that? Whoever welcomes this child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. For the least among all of you is the greatest. Wow. We're going to look at that in some more detail. I got this really funny story that happened to me and one of my grandkids the other day, and I've gotten permission from Holden to share it. Holden is the first grader, and he loves to play ball, all kinds of ball. I mean, his big thing is right now football. And whenever he comes over, he says, he doesn't say hi, Grandpa, or anything. He says, "Let's go play." So, and I always promise myself, I'm not going to get exhausted out here, and so I can, to the point I can hardly walk. But we get playing, and we get doing that, and I just wear out. But anyway, the other night, we were together, and I threw a pass that I must have overthrown him. And it went back into the camellia bushes and some undergrowth. And he starts back in to get it, and then he kind of steps back, and he looks at me, and I said, you want me to get the ball? He said, "Yeah." And I said, are you afraid there might be a snake in there? He said, "Yeah, I'm a little afraid." And then, serious as he could be, he said, "And besides, I've got a whole lot longer life left to live than you do." I don't know if he's doing the mathematical calculation. I don't know. First grade. I mean, gee. Well, it's such a great story. So I drilled that next one at him. And then our little granddaughter up in Virginia, Sarah Ruth, had a birthday party and turned 3. And I knew you were dying to see this picture. So, you know, that's a cake. That woman there is a cake. That princess or whatever it is. Amazing what they can do with cake. But so it's been a good time on the grandparent front. And of course, I've been thinking about children, both in the step into Africa and in this text today from Luke's Gospel. Let me set the scene for you. Jesus is with his disciples, and right before this text that was on the screen, he says to them, he said, "Now listen to this, let it sink deep into your ears, or to your hearing, to your heart, to your soul." And this is what he said. He said, "The Son of Man, I'm going to be betrayed and killed." And the text goes on to say, the disciples didn't understand what he was saying. And the very next verse is what we saw. The disciples were arguing among themselves as to which one was the greatest. And I don't know if you could picture Jesus there with his disciples and him sharing his heart there saying, "Now, I'm going to tell you something really important, and so would you really pay attention and let this sink into you?" And you announce that you're going to be killed. And there's no sort of, "Oh, Jesus, wait a minute now." Or, "How can we help?" Or, "No, we can work on this." And we, you know, no coming to his aid, no coming to bring strength or comfort. The next thing they say, at least in Luke's Gospel, is they're arguing among themselves who's going to be the greatest. I don't know your politics. Don't want to know. Wish some of them were different. No, I'm just not. But, I don't know, is this sort of the Alexander Haig? Some of you remember that when Reagan was shot and he said, "I'm in charge," even though he wasn't the Vice President or the Speaker of the House. I mean, are they jockeying for power? Are they trying to assure people that there's going to be a smooth transition? Are they saying when Jesus sets up his earthly kingdom, they're going to be, who's going to be on the right and who's going to be... I don't know what's going on. Or is it just the human condition that we tend to want to put ourselves forward And so Jesus, again, if you can picture this, Jesus said, here's what they're saying, or he knows what they're saying, and he says, look. And he reached over and he got this young child and he puts the child beside him. And he says something that I don't know that I ever really got before. I'm not sure if I got it yet. Whoever receives this child in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives God who sent me, the one who sent me, my Heavenly Father. For the least among us will be the greatest. Wow. Jesus is saying, whoever receives this child receives me. And whoever receives me receives the Father. I mean, Jesus says that in other ways. Whoever receives me sees the Father. But this is a new twist. What's he saying? Is he saying, because the nature of God's heart is to reach out to the helpless. I mean, this child, children, orphans, widows are helpless outsiders. I mean, Jesus, when he first came on the scene in Matthew's Gospel, he went and preached to all those who had been outside and brought them in. Is that what he's saying? Whoever receives someone like this child receives me? Well, you figure it out, what it might mean. But whoever receives this child receives me and receives the Father. It may be bringing together the personal gospel and the social gospel. That is to say, the social gospel is receiving, reaching out, welcoming those in need. And the personal gospel is, in so doing, we receive Jesus. The U.S. news reporter was interviewing me earlier. Why are you doing this? He said. I said, well, a couple reasons. I just know that today young people are leaving the church in droves and staying outside the church because they see the church talking about religion but not doing a lot. Talking about this but not loving neighbor. And I also know that when we reach out in compassion, I mean, that's what God calls us to do. And I know that you and the missions group know that after we read the whole of our gospel, this was the next step, that this is something God called us to do. This is. Step into Africa. So in there, you kind of wander through with, you get a set of headphones and you listen to the story of Emmanuel from Matata. That's who I heard her story the other day. And you come, as the newspaper said, to the end of the journey after you experience the loss of a mother or a father and this child, through no fault of his or her own, through breastfeeding or whatever, contracted AIDS, and you come and you put your hand in this place at the clinic and you decide whether, I mean, it's determined whether you're positive or negative with HIV/AIDS. Wow. Powerful. Powerful experience. I really hope every one of you will go through this. Everyone will experience it. I know our kids are really eager and they're going to determine how whether the kids have headphones or not. But, you know, we can get out of perspective, as DJ said, our lives. And I know that's why ASP and these mission trips that many of you go on, when you go to a different culture, when you go to a place where people have so much less than we do, and you don't feel so bad, but you also see, wow, life is a different perspective. That's what you experience here. What it's like. What it's like to be orphaned. I come back to my two grandkids. And I think of Holden's comment, I've got a lot longer life left to live than you do, Grandpa. And I think of Emmanuel and Barbary and Mataba. They don't have a parent or a grandparent to even say that to. I think of Sarah, who has a great birthday party, and many of you journeyed with us. We weren't sure if Shivam's going to be able to have children, but she's got this beautiful daughter and son and so much. Somebody, one of you sent me this email, this picture, that says it all, doesn't it? Wow. And I'm not just playing on your emotion. I mean, this is a real deal. And when you, and then under that is the heading and the email was, too much milk in your latte? Your remote's on the fritz? Overtaxed? I mean, that picture says it all to me. And I think God is calling us to, I mean, this church, thanks be to God, is from its get-go, has made children a center part of its focus. Small children, youth, reaching out, ASP, all those things. We were invited at the last district preachers meeting where we get together with pastors from this area, from Ocala, Leesburg area. We met at Leesburg, about 80 pastors. The district superintendent invited us to talk about Step Into Africa and invite people to come, bring their folks and all that. And one guy who's been in the ministry about as long as I have, he's been in the ministry long enough to know better, pastor of a pretty large church, he said, "Dan, I would encourage our people to come, but we can barely make our own budget now." And I'm never quick enough. Some of you are really quick answers, aren't you? But I'm never quick enough. It always comes the next day for me. I should have said, "You know, that's why you're barely making your budget right now." That mentality of zero sum. When you limit what God is about, when you limit God's generosity, and God is a generous God, and I have no doubt that as I encourage you and hundreds of us to do this, that God will, what would you do? Who do you think God will entrust more money to? People who hoard what He gives them or spends it frivolously, or people who use what God gives them to extend the work God wants done on this earth? I believe that with all my being. So God is calling us to this, to extend this out. Your emails have been so inspiring. Four of you emailed me, and I know there's others. Somebody after the last service has been sponsoring a child for 20 years. Two of you emailed that after you read the whole in our gospel, you decided to sponsor a child at $35 a month. And one of you said, I wanted to get somebody the age of my granddaughter. Another showed me a picture the other day and the letter of the child that they wrote. Another person has been sponsoring a child for 40 years, different children. And one email that I'll send to you this Tuesday is from a woman. Here's how she said it. She said in 1956, her husband was drafted, went to Korea. Back then, Korea was in extreme poverty. And as an Army, Air Force, whatever he was, guy, a military person, he had two choices on the weekend. He could go out carousing, or he could go to the gym. He chose to go to the gym. And there he met a young missionary, I can't remember the name, a young missionary who was working for this new organization called World Vision, about 6 years old. The World Vision was. And he was so impressed with this young missionary and this organization that he said, "When I get out of here and when my wife and I have enough money, we're going to sponsor a child." And so in 1961, he and his wife started sponsoring a child. And so for 50 years, they've been sponsoring 22 different children. And somebody told me yesterday when I was here that you go to their house and you'll see these pictures of these children all around the house. And she said, "I calculated it's about $20,000 over that time, drop by drop, bit by bit. It all has added up." And she and her husband have impacted the lives of this 22 children. Whoever receives this child in my name receives me. And all of those four people are incredibly happy. And all of them said that they don't miss the money. Jen and I came yesterday. And we walked through, and Jen shared with me later that, I wasn't sure what I would do because I'm concerned about my parents and this and that. But she said, as soon as I walked through there, I knew that we were going to be sponsoring. And so I'm sponsoring Emily. Her birthday is July 16th, the day after Jan. I don't know why. Maybe it was the first child I saw. She has a, look like a scalp issue here. And I thought, well, maybe others might not pick Emily. And Emily. And Jan picked Fred. His birthday is the same day as her brother's birthday. And we're going to start now on a journey that some of you are already on, but a journey I hope all of us will do. All of us will be a part of this. Because I believe that, I just know Jesus is right when he said, "Whoever receives me receives the Father." Back when I was in third grade or so, I welcomed Jesus into my heart. I opened my heart and invited Jesus, and it's been such a, amazing journey. And even though Holden's right, I hope he's not too right, that it's going to be too short for me between now and the end. But yesterday, I received Jesus in my heart in a new way. As I received this child. And this afternoon, we're going to celebrate Darren's birthday, and we're all gathered around the table. Me, Darren, and Christian, and the three kids, and Jan, and me, and now Fred and Emily will be a part of our experience. I just would beseech you, anybody who can, I know not everybody can, all of you who can, I just wish and pray that you'll go through and that you'll be open to God leading you about sponsoring a child. Would you pray with me? God, we can't do everything, but you don't ask us to do everything. You just ask us to do something. And whatever Jesus meant when he said, whoever receives this child in my name receives me, maybe he meant exactly what he said. And whoever receives me receives the Father. So God, make us receptive. Somehow, by doing something like this, we get out of ourselves. We get out of ourselves. We realize this is our temporary home. And there's a whole lot more to life than what we often think. So, speak to our hearts today and in the week ahead, we pray. And may you bring thousands of people from Gainesville and the area to this experience. We ask it humbly in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand as we sing our closing hymn, Here I Am, Lord.